You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Welcome, my dear friends and members of my extended family, to tonight's live broadcast of the Political Cesspool radio program. I'm your host, James Edwards. It's Saturday evening, November the 1st. November, sweet November, what are you going to do that can compare to the month that October was for me? And there's nothing. October was probably the most memorable month of my life. I have had some events that registered highly on the scale. Obviously, my wedding day, the birth of our first child. But October gave me the 10-year anniversary reunion of the Political Cesspool and the birth of my son. And when you put both of those together, I think it's the top month of my life. And I am still just absolutely glowing as a result of all the wonders and blessings that I experienced in October 2014. But the show must go on, and after a month of celebration, we're going to begin to transition back into our standard fare this evening. We're going to be talking about the topics that you are used to hearing about when you tune into the Political Cesspool, and I look forward to bringing those to you this evening, but not before I start off the show tonight with a little extended commentary about that miracle, the miracle of life, the life that God authored that I was able to be a part of on Monday morning when a new Edwards was born into this old world. Henry McGregor arrived healthy and happy on Monday morning at exactly 7:57 a.m., clocking in at 8 pounds, 7 ounces. Now, that's big by pretty much any standard of measurement, but when you consider my wife is 5 foot, 100 pounds when she's not pregnant, you can imagine this was about a tenth of her body weight just in baby alone. And so a big boy, a healthy boy. And it's going to be impossible, of course, to love him more than my daughter, who is really just the light of my life. But there is something very special, I have to admit. And any father with a son surely feels this way, if he's at all decent. But having a son to carry on my name, that is something very, very special to me. And if it had been another girl, I would have loved it just the same, no more, no less. But to have a son that will always be an Edwards, carry on the name of my father, my grandfather, my great-grandfather, so on and so forth, going all the way back to England and Scotland, where my people came from. You bet your life that means something to me, and it means more than I could possibly articulate. And it's just so wonderful. So wonderful. I put some pictures up on the website a couple of days ago after we got home from the hospital, a picture of me holding Henry. A picture of him in one of his monogrammed blankets. Of course, it has to be monogrammed. You know that. A picture of Isabel, our daughter, holding him. I want to thank everyone. I want to thank everyone for the emails and for the comments on our website congratulating me. You know, I made the conscious decision to share myself with the audience. And I want to have an intimate and personal relationship with the men and women who support and pray for the Political Cesspool. We talk every week about how we're all a family here, and you are a family to me. You're part of the extended family, and I want to share who I am with you. I don't want there to be any secrets. I don't want there to be any veil between us. Now, you don't get everything, of course, but you get more than a behind-the-scenes look, and I want you to know my family. I'm proud of my family, and so I don't hide that. I don't come on the radio and keep that part of my personality and my life away from you because we are all in this together. And I think it's important to do that. I know some people don't always do it. I was inspired, I believe, first by Peter Brimelow, who's a friend of mine, the former editor of Forbes magazine. He runs the VDare website, of course. And in a few of his posts, I started noticing that he included pictures of his daughter. He has a daughter around the same age as I do. And, you know, I said, that's a good idea. Because we need to show the world that we're not the people that have been portrayed by our enemies. And we're not going to let the enemies define who we are. We're going to not only talk about who we are and what we truly believe in, what we truly stand for, but we're going to show people. We're going to talk about it, and we're going to show pictures to prove it. And I think anybody objectively who could look at pictures of my family, they know that, number one, that's a good, clean, all-American Christian family. And this is the kind of work, and these are the kind of people that we need to be supporting. The Political Cesspool is the kind of radio show. You know, anybody that can have a family like that can't be all bad. And this is the kind of work we need to be getting behind. And I hope that there is some element of that that's put into the souffle. But far more than using my family as plots, I just am proud of them. And so I'm proud of them, and it's such a big part of my life. Of course it's going to come out in on the air and now on the website as well. And who doesn't want to show pictures of their newborn son to the world? Certainly not me. I want to do it, and I'm doing it loud and proud. And I want to thank everybody who said comments like, you know, there's another great man has come into the world. He's a great man because his father's a great man. And for all the people who have called me a hero over the years for doing this show, I feel as though I've done something truly heroic this week, and that is giving birth and producing another child that will be raised in the traditions and in the ways of his fathers. He will be taught to be obedient and a practitioner of the Christian faith. You know, at the end of the day, ladies and gentlemen, our cause, what this show is all about, at the end of the day, we talk about a lot of topics, all important issues, mind you, but this cause of ours is about life and the continuance of our people. And having children and raising them properly is an absolutely essential part of the struggle that sometimes gets overlooked in favor of the abstract. Make no mistake about it, ladies and gentlemen. I'm proud about this radio show. I'm proud about all the things we've accomplished over the years, things that we celebrated in Memphis a couple of weeks ago at the 10-year anniversary. But my family, my wife, my marriage, my children are by far the greatest accomplishments that I have had and will ever have. Nothing else will even compare. And people were asking about the name. I believe that names are vitally important, and that they have they play a role in the success of a child as he grows up. And I wanted the names of both of my children to mean something. As for Henry, you know, I wanted the name to be kingly. I wanted it to be strong and classic and European. And Henry is, of course, a tip of the hat to my English heritage, while McGregor is the surname of my maternal grandparents. McGregor was my mother's maiden name, obviously. So Henry McGregor, just a strong European, English, Scottish name. Patrick Henry, they played a role a little bit. You know, I wanted to name him after heroes of our people, too. Patrick Henry was someone that came into mind. But Henry is just a great name all the way around. It's it comes from the old French Henry, or from the Germanic, if I'm pronouncing this correctly, Heimrich. It's a compound word with the elements coming together, Heim meaning home and Rick meaning power. The name Henry literally means home ruler or ruler of the home. Strong name. He's going to be a strong man. And I appreciate everybody who's taken an interest in the addition to the Edwards family. We're going to take a break and get to work right after this.
This is big!
Not just big, it's the Freeze Dry Guys Giant Factory Authorized Sale. This month, save 30 to 45% off on number 10 cans of high-quality Mountain House freeze-dried foods from the Freeze Dry Guy. Factory fresh stock just arrived, so now is the time to stock up with the finest, best-tasting, longest-proven shelf-life foods in the industry at giant savings of 30 to 45% off. But hurry, supplies are limited to only the stock we have on hand. Call 866-404-3663. Free shipping to the lower 48 states. Click freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-3663. That's freezedryguy.com. Hurry, the Giant Factory authorized Mountain House sale is going on now, only from the Freeze Dry Guy. The finest freeze-dried and dehydrated foods available anywhere for long-term storage.
Many of you have heard me talk about my vigor score. You say, Sam, what on earth is all this vigor stuff about? Well, vigor is defined as zest for life, your strength in body and mind, your energy levels. It's kind of all wrapped into a term called vigor. Would you like to improve your vigor score? Well, you got to first take the free test. Get a hold of Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com or call Kurt Cosby at 801-669-2211. I took the test, got a 13 out of 32. Horrible, huh? But I worked on it with Kurt with some natural help and healing, and before you know it, now I've got an astounding 29 out of 32 on the vigor score. Can you tell by the way I talk? Oh, yes, my zest for life has never been better. Get a hold of Kurt Cosby. That's 801-669-2211 and take your free vigor test today, and you can learn where you stand. And then you can work on improving it and take the test again. And, oh, compare the results. You will be delighted. Get a hold of Kurt Cosby. Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com or 801-669-2211 for your free vigor score test today.
We fought. We learned. We struggled. We won. Despite Obama's best efforts, the newspaper of the human resistance survives. We have lived only to face a new nightmare, the war against the machines. Read about our struggle in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The Sovereign is a 24-page monthly tabloid newspaper about the war between man and machines. We've tried reason, we've tried legislation. We've tried every peaceful means imaginable, and all it's gotten us is shut out. So now we fight the machines. Order online today at thesovnews.com or find The Sovereign at select newsstands. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The human resistance's battle against the machines will be everlasting. This is mercy. It was never our destiny to stop the age of Obama. It was merely to survive it. Together. Together.
It's time to jump back into the political cesspool. To be part of the show and have your voice heard around the world, call us at 1-866-986-6397.
Folks, you know, after the last two shows we've had, it was just nothing but feel-good stuff. It was nothing but, elation and brotherly and sisterly love for one another, celebrating the show, obviously, here a couple of weeks ago in Memphis, and then last week when we did a follow-up show, basking in the revelry of all of that. And then, of course, tonight I'm opening the show with news of the birth of my son. It is hard to transition back into topics and politics and the kind of stories we discuss on a weekly basis here, but we're going to do that, and we're going to start doing it in this segment. But I did want to say very quickly, I ran out of time, got a little long-winded in my excitement over the birth of my son. I do want to thank everybody again for all the emails. I've had hundreds of emails this week from people all over the country, all over the world, offering their well wishes for my family. I want you to know how much that means, ladies and gentlemen, how much that means, what a blessing that is. To know that we have people out there that love us, and certainly we love you back. And I haven't had the opportunity to respond to very many of those emails. As you know, my son sleeps about 18 hours a day. The only time he's awake, it seems, is between about 11 p.m. and 5 a.m. I've slept very little this week, as anyone who has had children can will know and appreciate. But I have read all of the emails. I love all of the emails. People that have never even written in before, that have been longtime listeners of the show, they say, writing in from places that we never knew we had listeners, even after all these years. It means a lot. But I was talking at the end of the last segment about a name, wanting a strong name, a European name, a kingly name for my son. I believe we found that with Henry McGregor. Isabel, too, though, you know, for her, when we named her 4 years ago, my daughter is about 4.5 years old now. We wanted something very feminine and very European, and I drew my inspiration on her name from Queen Isabella of Spain, even though we don't have Spanish heritage. When I say Spanish heritage, I mean real Spanish people, European Spaniards. But certainly the role that Queen Isabella played is something that should be remembered, and so I remembered it in her name. But we didn't go with Isabella. We went with Isabel. And that was a wink to Southern Belles. Isabelle is how we spell Isabel. And anyway, so royalty on both sides there with Henry and Isabel. And those are the names of my children. What kind of world are we bringing these children into? Well, believe me, it's not to say that it didn't cross my mind whether or not to have more children or to have children at all, knowing the road that America is on. And do I wish that sort of existence on my children? Well, I'm going to do everything I can to protect my family and to raise them right and to lead and to guide them and to serve as their shepherd and to be their father and to be a strong leader and a man that that both of my children can look up to and respect and admire. And that's not to say that I'm perfect, because I'm far from it, but that's always the goal. But there's certainly a lot of things in the world today that are beyond our control. And, you know, my children will most likely face persecution, not just because I'm their father, but because for Southern Christians, it's only going to get worse. You know, unless we are able to score a miraculous come-from-behind victory here, or things fall apart, and that could happen. That very well could happen, folks. Listen, let me just say this about the prospects for our people going forward. I get a lot of emails. I get emails every week from people who say they love the political cesspool because they love the way that I'm able to be so positive and how I'm able to have such a happy and bright outlook on the crises that we face. Even though we're fighting, it seems, a retreating battle on all fronts, I'm able to keep an upbeat disposition. And the way I'm able to do that is simple. Number one, I'd never concern myself with the ultimate outcome. I don't concern myself with the results or how things will play out. And my focus has always been on doing my duty. You know, as Robert E. Lee said, one of the greatest people that anyone could aspire to emulate, and I'm paraphrasing here, I don't have the exact quote in front of me, but that duty is the most sublime word in the English language. We should each seek to do our duty. We can't do more. We should never wish to do less. I do my duty. The rest is in God's hand. I'm going to do my duty and let the chips fall where they may. And I pray that we will be successful. And I think if enough people pull in the right direction and enough people get active and get engaged, that certainly we can be successful and things can turn around. But even if they don't, ultimately, as Christians, we believe that we're going to end up in God's favor in heaven no matter what happens in this earthly realm. And that's not to say that we fall back on that entirely and say, well, when we die, we go to heaven and everything's going to be okay, so why get engaged here in issues that don't matter in eternity? Well, I don't subscribe to that either. You know, it's our duty as Christians to raise the banner and as Christian soldiers to march forward and take that into our communities and into the world. And so I'm going to do that. Now, I think we should do that. I think that's our charge. I was talking to my children's pediatrician. We took our son in, I guess it was just yesterday. He had to go in after he was released from the hospital to get his first checkup. And the pediatrician that we use for Henry has been Isabel's pediatrician since birth, so we've known him for a few years now, and he certainly knows who I am and what I do. And so he talks freely about politics, and he's a great Christian guy. He has a young family, as I do, and we were talking about that. We were talking specifically about the homosexual issue. And he said, like I do, that, you know, if homosexuals were in front of me, you know, how would I treat them? Well, I would treat them politely. I would treat them with courtesy. I don't treat people with whom I disagree the way that people treat me. You know, yell at them, call them names, defame them, libel them, slander them. I treat everybody with respect. You know, it doesn't matter what race you are. You know, if you're into sexual perversion or whatever, if you're standing in front of me, I'm going to treat you politely, but I am not going to bend one inch. And I talked to him about that with our children's pediatrician. I said, you know, I would treat them politely as I do everyone, but if they asked me my opinion on their issues, I would say, you know what, no marriage. It's an abomination. It's a sin. I hope you can find repentance. And I wouldn't bend on that. You know, there's a difference between being polite and cordial and being a doormat. And so many Christians, and certainly so many conservatives, are just doormats on every single issue that there is. And it's because of that that they want to go along to get along. And they think that if they're just polite and friendly, that the demons won't come for them and that the fight won't come to their door. Well, they're dead wrong about that. And that's what my pediatrician and I were talking about. I think we spent about 15 minutes on the exam of Henry and about 45 minutes on politics. But he speaks freely with me, and I'm glad that he does. And he said that the Christians are going to have to get a bigger backbone. And yes, we will be polite to everyone, but there's a difference between being, as I said, polite and just being someone that just gets kicked around. Now, don't mistake being a gentleman for being a pushover. And anyway, we talked about a few more things, but all of these issues, you know, what world are we bringing our children into? Well, it's not one that their grandfathers would recognize, that's for sure. But it's something that if we pull together, perhaps we can change. And that's what I'm going to work to do. But I mentioned, you know, having children is an essential part in the struggle that gets overlooked in favor of the abstract. We tend to talk a lot about, you know, once things fall apart and we get our ethnostate, once things fall apart and we turn things around, once we have this utopia, here's what we're going to do. Well, it's fun to have that mind candy. It's fun to fantasize about these things. But listen, we're getting outbreeded, we're getting overrun with illegal immigrants. We've got to have children, and we have got to raise these children right. And I don't think there's anything I've done in my life that can compare to my contribution to our issues than having good, godly, strong children who are proud of who they are, proud of their ancestors, and proud of their culture and heritage. I'll be back right after this.
Protecting your liberties. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Are you worried about America? Do you fear the power of the Obama brigades to take away your rights? The Obama presidency is the most radical left-wing administration in American history. Our constitutional liberties are in danger. What can you do? Join the Council of Conservative Citizens. For over 20 years, the CFCC has fought for the rights and ideals of the European American majority. The CFCC has won legal and political battles to protect your heritage and your liberties. The CFCC advocates strong state governments over the power of Washington, D.C. to rule your life. The CFCC believes in an American first foreign and domestic policy which opposes globalism and one world government. The CFCC advocates racial integrity as God's natural order. Visit our website today at www.cfcc.org and join fellow European Americans in the fight for our people.
Each week, the political cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, hits the airwaves to bring you the other side of the news and to report on events which are vital to your welfare but are hushed up or distorted by the mainstream media. However, to continue doing this, we need your support. Go online at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a safe and secure donation. If you prefer not to make an online donation, you can send us a check or money order to the address on the website. No matter which way you choose, the Political Cesspool needs your support. Go online to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a donation today. Are you a native son or daughter of the South who pleads the stars and bars? Someone not born in Dixieland, but who is a Johnny Reb at heart and looking for a place to shop that promotes Southern heritage? Well, your search is over. Dixie Republic is the place to go for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride. Inside the log cabin just outside Travelers Rest, South Carolina, Dixie Republic has t-shirts, hats, videos, flags, books, belt buckles, and some of the best mouth-watering barbecue sauce that will ever touch your lips. There's just about everything you want honoring the South at Dixie Republic. Well, you say that South Carolina's a bit too far for you to drive? Have no fear, my friend. All of this is just a mouse click away. Go online at www.dixierepublic.com. Your home for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride. welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
Valley music into the live broadcast of the Political Cesspool Radio Show, but I do have a little tradition. It has become a tradition now because it's happened more than once. I purposefully choose the first song that my children hear. The first song that I played for Isabel the day she was born was Can't Take My Eyes Off You, of course, by the Four Seasons, Frankie Valli. You can probably guess after hearing that song what the first song for Henry was. Walk Like a Man. I mean, simple advice, but sound advice. And we need proper, you know, you would take for granted what I'm about to say as just good old-fashioned common sense or something that doesn't even need to be mentioned. But we need proper roles for our men and women and our boys and girls. And certainly in the Edwards household, those proper roles and those traditional values will be adhered to. My daughter, already well on her way at four to becoming a polite, well-mannered young lady, and she will be a lady in every sense of the word when she gets older. If her father and her mother have anything to do about it, and I know that she will, but my son will be a man. My son will be a man. And that is something that you cannot take for granted in this degenerate day and age when there's so many weak and feeble-minded men, especially in our own race. I have never been so disappointed in the men, white men. You know, you ask, you know, who our biggest enemies are. Well, it's certainly ourselves. I mean, we can take issue with black behavior and the exhaustion that we, you know, get from these antics like we see in Ferguson. I'm going to talk about that in this segment. We can talk about how, you know, the disproportionate amount of Jewish power and influence over our institutions and the fact that the reason that it's such a bad thing is because Jews are so liberal and anti-white and anti-Christian. All these are problems, and that's what we talk about on the political cesspool. Those are our two signature issues. But these people aren't our biggest enemies. Our biggest enemies are ourselves. And allowing this to happen, and not only allowing it to happen, but aiding and abetting our own dispossession as if it makes us morally superior to do so. And that's what we see now. And we saw it on a recent clip of Saturday Night Live in which the presumably white actors mock white genocide, the displacement of whites in their ancestral homelands. Now, one of the people pretending to be a white person in this clip is the vile creature Sarah Silverman. I wouldn't even call her a woman. She's just a vile degenerate. You read and watch some of her so-called comedy routines and about Christ and Christianity and white people, and she's just the scum of the earth. But she's posing as a white woman in this clip. Well, let's listen to it, and then we'll talk more about it.
We're ambitious.
We're resourceful. We're goofy.
We play by our own rules.
We can be a little naughty, but we're all good people.
We're whites. And for now, we're on top. We've had a great run.
From presidents to senators.
Hundreds of years.
But we know it won't last forever. So for these final years of white dominance, we're going to soak it all in.
I'm going to live.
I'm going to camp.
And hike.
I'm going to camp too. And hike.
I'm going to hug my daddy.
Hey, let's make this a good trot around the bases.
Let's get at least 4 more presidents.
Even if they have to be girls.
Hey!
Let's never forget the things we accomplished.
Because eventually, we'll grow old and we'll die. And then, it's all yours, Mexicans. But not yet. Whites. Still calling the shots till around 2050. 2060 tops.
Whites!
All right. I have high blood pressure sometimes. I mean, can you imagine doing this show suffering from high blood pressure? I mean, of course I do. And I can tell when my blood pressure is high because I begin to get a little dizzy. I'll tell you the truth, and this is not an exaggeration. When I watched that clip, I went blind. I literally could not see for a few seconds. I was just, you know, and this is how you are supposed to feel if you're going to be a socially accepted white person. You have to encourage and laugh about your own dispossession. Why shouldn't our children, you know, we're talking about having children. I have 2 now, thank God. Why do we not want them to have a home of their own? Why shouldn't whites have a place where they can cultivate that place to be a reflection of their culture and their heritage? What if that video was done in reverse and it was the Saturday Night Crew mocking the dispossession of another race, you know, mocking the dispossession of the Palestinians, for instance, or mocking anyone, you know, or some of these tribal wars in Africa where they pick one tribe or the other that's getting genocided. I mean, of course that would never fly. There's only one type of socially acceptable mockery when it comes to race, and that is whites are bad. They're either the villains or they're the punchline of jokes. And when I watch this, I mean, we're supposed to celebrate our dispossession and laugh about it. Yeah, it's okay. It's funny. It's not, you can't be something you should be concerned with because it's a joke, right? Well, as Dr. Kevin McDonald has written, and by the way, Kevin's going to be our guest tonight. Kevin's our featured guest in the second hour of tonight's live broadcast. Sam Bushman will be with us in the third. So we got an incredible 1-2 punch tonight. But as Kevin McDonald wrote, such people as those in this video and so many like them who are more concerned with being invited to the right cocktail parties than they are in the future for their sons and daughters. You know, I do this job and carry a cross every night when I do it. I set myself up for defamation. I set myself up for attacks and assault. And, you know, when I posted that about my son being born, I mean, you can't even imagine. I mean, 100-1, it was positive stuff. It was great stuff from a loyal and loving audience. But you can't imagine some of the degenerate stuff that came in from the practitioners of tolerance and diversity. I shouldn't even repeat this, but I want you to know what we're dealing with here, ladies and gentlemen. I received one from a person who said that, you know, he hopes that my son, you know, grows up to marry a black man. You know, this is the kind of degenerates that we're up against. And stuff like that I never respond to. And stuff like that really doesn't get under my skin as much as some of this other stuff does. Because those are just little people. And you expect that. I have come to expect that kind of stuff from the people that oppose us. To a man, the people that have opposed us have that sort of disposition. One said that, of course, he hopes my son passes away because he's just going to be hateful like his father. Because I'm hateful because I want to have, I want to be able to be proud of who I am. I'm hateful for that. Are Jews hateful that want to celebrate their ethnic heritage? Are blacks hateful who want to celebrate their ethnic heritage? Are Hispanics hateful who want to celebrate their ethnic heritage? No, of course not. But whites are. You see a double standard there, ladies and gentlemen? And for all the hate that I'm supposedly espousing here on this program every night, I've never said I wanted anybody's children to die. But anyway, these people, these white people that engage in that sort of behavior are short-sighted, Kevin MacDonald writes. In the long run, their descendants will suffer incalculably from their sins. I'm going to repeat that. In the long run, the descendants of these people who are aiding and abetting their own dispossession, their children, the children of these actors are going to suffer incalculably from their sins. It's true that they're living the good life for now, but that party is going to come to an end. And when it does, the same people who are spitting at me right now, their children will curse their name. What we're doing here is righteous, ladies and gentlemen, and I never lose sight of that. And I wouldn't do it if I didn't feel as though it was. We're going to take a break, and we'll be back.
Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character, where educating both hearts and minds brings about academic excellence. There is a school in American Fork where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. Based on LDS principles and a love of country, now in our 39th year, American Heritage School is accepting fall enrollment for kindergarten through high school. What would you do for your child? Give them an education that will prepare them for life. Located east of the Temple in American Fork, American Heritage School is a remarkable and affordable alternative. Visit us, find us online, or in the Yellow Pages. American Heritage School in American Fork.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Break the bond of Big Pharma. Hi, it's Joyce Riley with the Power Hour to tell you about the powerful benefits of Strauss Heart Drops. Many people today are locked into the routine of taking multiple prescription drugs. Strauss Herb Company believes that everything the body needs is provided by nature. Strauss Heart Drops may clear congested arteries, restore damaged muscle, maintain healthy cholesterol levels, and flush toxins and metals from the body. They may even be helpful in treating varicose veins. And unlike prescription drugs that are packed with chemicals, Strauss Heart Drops are 100% natural and harness the healing power of herbs like garlic, cayenne, white willow bark, and mistletoe. For the full line of Strauss products, I urge you to call the Power Hour at 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829, or visit thepowermall.com. And remember, beware of knockoffs. Get the original. Get Strauss Heart Drops.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, everybody, we've got our intrepid Washington, D.C. correspondent Peter Scoop Stanton on the line right now. And before we get to Scoop, I should also mention or make mention of the fact that we are down two co-hosts tonight. Eddie the Bombardier Miller is in New York City right now. Tomorrow morning at 5 o'clock a.m., the Bombardier will be in Central Park when the starting gun is fired and he begins his 20-plus mile marathon run. Eddie participating in the famous New York Marathon. Keith Alexander couldn't pass up tickets tonight to go see the number 7-ranked Ole Miss Rebels, his alma mater, go at it against the number 4-ranked Auburn Tigers. So in a battle between hosting the program and going to see Ole Miss play, we unfortunately got the short end of the stick tonight. I say that jokingly in some regards. Keith always asks for permission to take off on a night that he's going to be off. And, of course, I always grant that furlough. I couldn't dock his pay, so I might as well let him go and know that he'll be back next week. But Keith is down there tonight in Oxford, Mississippi, and Eddie is in New York. But we do have Scoop, and before I turn it over to Scoop, and this segment is all his, just a quick final word on that last segment about the skit on Saturday Night Live mocking the white dispossession, the white genocide that is currently ongoing here in this country. As Kevin McDonald wrote, the descendants of these people will suffer incalculably from their sins, not just the actors, but all of those out there who are doing nothing and saying nothing and going along and getting to get along and not standing up for the interests of European Americans. Everybody should stand up and advance the interests of their unique ethnic groups. Of course, many whites are simply tuned out to their own racial dispossession, especially if they don't live near the areas inundated by non-whites. They are enjoying their hobbies, raising their kids, and trying to live a good life. They are well aware that publicly expressing pro-white attitudes will lead to loss of jobs, potentially, and social ostracism. And they are pacified because nothing they see in the mainstream media is likely to make them feel that they ought to care about their impending dispossession. Nevertheless, as we know in hosting this show and how famous and how widespread the political cesspool has become, whites are not happy about becoming a minority. They are not happy at all. There's a great disconnect and a great gulf between what you see on the establishment media and what average rank and file middle class taxpaying Americans are feeling out there. I see it every day in the correspondence and meeting people on the street. Whites are not happy about this, by and large. Now, of course, there are some that fall into the other camp who will be cursed by their children for the role they played in this ongoing genocide against our people. But despite the very best efforts of the media to lull white America to sleep about their dispossession, we see a renaissance. And we're on the front lines of it here in the political cesspool. There are a lot of whites waking up to what's going on out there, and that is a good thing, and that's a healthy thing. Let's go to Peter Scoop Stanton, who has not one but two topics for our education this evening. Scoop, what do you want to talk about?
Good evening, James, and the rest of the family. I got a whole bunch of things. First off, to piggyback off the Bombardier, those living in the metropolitan New York City area, wake up tomorrow, find yourself a spot, and bring your Confederate flags, make a sign that says, Go Bombardier, and support Eddie Miller. Hopefully the copyright calls in to say where he's going to be at, and so you can meet up with him and buy them stars and bars. Second order of business, congratulations again on the birth of your son of little Henry. Your son's 5 days old, and he has more hair than his old man. I'm surprised you didn't name him Frankie Valley Edwards.
It was in the running, and believe me, it wasn't lost on me that when he came out of the womb, he had more hair than me, and that's the truth. and brown hair, too. He got my wife's hair.
And hopefully he has your wife's looks, intelligence, and personality.
Amen to that, all right. Scoop.
All right, third order of business. Those living in the metropolitan Detroit, our good friend and buddy Charlie LaDuff is hosting a chili cook-off for Detroit Fire Department. As you know, the city went bankrupt. They can't pay their firemen their pensions, their medical coverage that they rightly deserve. So he's going to be at the Chartown Tavern, I think that's the name of it, in on Michigan Avenue from next Saturday, November the 8th, from noon to 6. It's a $10 cover charge. Just go to the crowded bar on Michigan Avenue at high noon, say hi to Charlie, tell him the Cesspool sent you. All the money's going to help Detroit's Bravest, because, as you know, this week was Devil's Night on the 30th, and they need all the help they can get. Fourth order of business, Tuesday is Election Day. It's the midterm elections. Those who pay taxes and complain about the government but don't vote, you need to get out there. If you don't want to vote, if you think your vote doesn't count because of all the dead voting Democrats and all the legal aliens voting Democrat, well, guess what? You deserve what you get. Speaking of voting, in Louisiana, Senator Mary Landrieu, who is in the fight for her life, went on television to say a couple things. She was asked why Obama's support in the South is so low. She said because the Southern people don't like black people. As you know, a whole bunch of people vote for Obama not once but twice, possibly more than twice in two elections. And then she said that people in the South don't want to vote for women. But the same people in Louisiana voted for her twice. And the predecessor to Governor Bobby Jindal in Louisiana happened to be a female. And the current governor of Louisiana, Mr. Jindal, is of Indian descent. Not casinos, but 7-Eleven.
Real quick, Scoop, before you go on, I want to comment on that because that was what my book, Racism Smashism, was all about in 2010. Yeah, so here's this creep, Mary Landrieu, in Louisiana, asked why Obama's support in the South is so low. It couldn't possibly be because Southerners are, by and large, good people and God-centered people that reject radical Marxism and socialism that is Obama's flair. Of course, the only reason his support is low is because all Southerners, including the ones, no doubt, that voted for her ignorantly, are racist and sexist. Now, so this is, and the reason, you know, every time, that is the answer to everything. Any deficiency that the Democrats come against is because the opposition is racist or sexist. I mean, it's the answer to everything. And the only reason they are allowed to get away with this is because it has been, unfortunately, so successful. And that's what my book was all about. You know, the R word is a socio-political nuclear bomb. Why is Obama's support low in the South? Racist. You know, why is this? Racist, racist, racist. They just throw it out there, and the Republican leadership, I guarantee you, in Louisiana, will spend the rest of the time between now and Election Day making excuses as to why they aren't quote-unquote racist rather than focusing on winning. I can guarantee you that's happening, and that's why the Democrats and these cultural Marxists use that term so much, is because they know it'll just make their opposition spin their wheels rather than focusing on the prize. Anyway, and they'll continue to do it until everybody in this country reads my book, I guess, and begins to dismiss these bogus claims or embracing them. Either one, just don't spend time, you know, being distracted. Either say, you know, if being a racist means that, you know, I love who I am and I'm proud of my parents and I'm not ashamed of my culture, then, yeah, I'm a racist. And if that is the definition, then I'm one, too. I'll proudly be the first one to admit being a racist if the definition of racist is you're white, which is basically what it's been boiled down to. Anyway, that's what it's all about. But I wanted to comment on that. I hope you're going to get into how Obama, now this couldn't possibly be one of the reasons, one of the many reasons right-minded Southerners are opposed to Obama. What's he doing with our troops in Africa, Scoop?
Well, Mr. Obama sent a couple thousand troops in Africa to fight Ebola. For Africans, of course, we had a couple citizens, you know, that doctor in New York, that nurse in Maine, a couple other folks have Ebola-like symptoms. But he sent, you know, our best and our brightest to fight a disease, a virus which has no known cure, because that's, you know, primarily what a virus is. But then, if you remember a couple years ago, when Ambassador Stevens and the security detail were getting attacked in Benghazi, he didn't send any assets. We have assets in Spain. We have assets in Italy. We always have a battle group in the Mediterranean. The British has a base on the Rock of Gibraltar, and they could have been there within an hour, if not a couple hours. But, you know, disease killing Africans, let's send their troops. Americans getting killed, let's, you know, forget about them. You know, we'll say a couple kind words when they bring the bodies back covered in a flag.
Now, we talk about the way that Washington misuses our troops and using them as basically a global police force and have them in all these entangling alignments, the likes of which George Washington railed against. And now our troops are being sent in to fight Ebola. I mean... That just sounds like it really sounds like a joke, but this is what we've got going. What are they supposed to do? I mean, what are they, you know, you're talking about people who are trained to fight with weapons and win an offensive. You know, what are they going to do? Go in and shoot the pathogen with their rifles? What are they supposed to do? What are they doing? I mean, and I got to admit, being a little bit out of the loop on this and not seeing much more than the headline on this story scoop, but what exactly does the government think that soldiers can do to fight Ebola? Are they going to be handing out blankets and towels? Are they going to be shooting the people that have it? I mean, what are they supposed to do? We're coming up on a break, so we have to make that.
The DOD is very good on CBR defenses, so it's probably top secret stuff. But all right, that's it for me. See you next week. Bye.
You got it, buddy. See you next week, Scoop.
There's more to come right here on the Liberty News Radio Network.